And joining me for this morning, I'll call it a Capital Call program, because anytime I'm talking with Earl, it's usually something government-related, whether it's former city council or nearly former state representative. Good morning, Earl.
Good morning, Charlie. And about the middle of November, it ends for me. It's been a beautiful and wonderful ride, as I've told numerous times on this radio show. Charlie, I thank you. And once again, I want to say thank you to you and to the Potter family that allows these type programs where we can bring in guests from around the state that are running our political office, that have chosen to throw their hat in the ring in regards to serve the people of our great state. And I have one of those individuals here today. His name is Randy McDaniel. Randy and I served together for 12 years. He lives in the Edmond area. He is term limited like I am. We had a great career together in the House of Representatives. His ran numerous pieces of legislation, but Representative McDaniel's claim to fame is he was our go-to person and our champion in regards to dealing with and correcting and making sure we had reform in our pension system that when we first arrived there was just really in shambles, and he's done a phenomenal job. He decided he wanted to continue in government, and he has chosen to run for the treasurer of our great state, and that's why he's in Barbersville today, and I'm showing him around our community. So
you'll have him at the forum later, right?
He will be at the forum today. He'll be one of our speakers. But I am excited to have him in Barbersville. He has my complete not only support, but he has my complete 100% endorsement. He's a man of integrity, honesty, and just the kind of people we need in state government. So now I'm going to turn it over to Randy McDaniel and Charlie to have a little interview.
Thank you very much, Stir. And Randy, thanks for coming to Bartlesville. And Earl claims you. I have to assume you're good friends.
Yes. Earl and I came to the state capitol at the same time, and we've served for 12 years. He's been a tremendous servant, not only to his community, but for everyone in Oklahoma. And I'm honored to call him a friend, and I really appreciate his support in this race.
Well, you're running now for state treasurer, and I understand professionally your background is in the monetary field.
Yes, I spent my whole career. I started in a community bank and worked there, and the bank was sold, and then I spent the next two decades as a financial advisor with a major financial firm. And so I have 24 years of private sector experience helping people reach their goals and achieve financial freedom.
You've had a great legislative career, and again, you're going for another public job interview as opposed to simply walking into a business and say, these are my credentials, and they say yes or no. You have to go to every county in the state and, again, knock on doors figuratively or physically and say, please vote for me. Why?
Well, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed getting a chance to go to a lot of places where I either played football, basketball, had track meets. I was born in a small town called Alva in the northwest part of the state. Lived in Norman a little bit, lived in Edmond, lived in Fort Sill, and when I was in the field artillery. And so in a way, it's great to get around the state and have a chance to see a lot of old friends and see a lot of places that I've lived and had some great experiences in.
Thank you for your military service, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And as service to the state as well. State treasurer's job, that's one of those offices that much of the public can't say they know a lot about. They think treasurer, obviously you collect and write the checks for the state of Oklahoma, but what's the best part of the treasurer's job, assuming you get the vote?
Well, the core part is to be the state's banker and the money manager of the state. So there'll be a lot of cash management functions that you'll see in a normal banking operations, but there are some other unique things that are a little separate than that are more long-term investment strategies, which I think fit very well with my financial background. They serve on several very important boards, and I think that when you bring all those skill sets together, like the college savings accounts, unclaimed property, that my experience in government and in the private sector is a great fit for this job.
And you mentioned the state's investment program, and yes, by the way, the state does invest its money in conservative investments. I think many people would compare the state's investment policy to those of a very retired person, something that you're not going to take a lot of risk yet, but at the same time, get the best return you can with that minimal amount of risk.
Well, I think that's a very important point. On the cash management side, that's absolutely the case, and that's the core function. When you have TSET money to tobacco settlement, that's more of a long-term aspect, and now the treasurer is also on the board of the two largest retirement systems, which would be more of a long-term strategy. Mm-hmm. But on the day-to-day operations, the goal is the security of the assets, safeguarding the resources that we have, but we also want someone that's going to provide value to the taxpayers of Oklahoma that that's going to maximize our income, given that proper setting of saying preservation of capital is the number one priority.
With those college savings accounts, the 529 plans, as they're called legally, is it as good a deal as it appears to be?
Yes, it is. You get a state tax exemption. I've been working in the 529 plans for a long time, and so I feel very familiar. The fees keep coming down, and we're looking for another fee reduction on management. So they're very efficient. They're helping families save for their children's education, and they're making a great difference for many families in Oklahoma.
I know it's something that former State Senator John Ford would speak about frequently on this program, but again, if you're running for the job, I wanted to make sure that it had your endorsement as well.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And I will say it was started by Robert Butkin, and I received his endorsement yesterday when I was in Tulsa. And I'm also endorsed by our current treasurer, Ken Miller, and Scott Meacham, the treasurer before then. And so it's been three treasurers in a row for the college savings plan, and it just topped $1 billion. And so it has been a great success.
And again, you get the tax benefit for the donor, whether it's the grandparents or family members or even somebody else within the family that designates that money for the prospective student and
yes.
Goes on from there.
You bet. It's a great program.
What other boards does the state treasurer serve on?
Well, I talked about TSET, Board mm-hmm. of Equalization. There's a number. And then I will also have some ones that are not required by constitution or statute that I feel very very excited about making a difference. One of which is I want to be involved in financial literacy. Financial literacy is something we can all agree on, that we all need more education for everyone, and not only old and young, but just across the spectrum. If we can learn more to how to save money and just core financial principles, I think that can have a big impact on many families.
Moody's Investor Service coming out this week with their AA plus rating, third highest on their scale, a more positive rating than they gave the state in April. So apparently the $500 million in taxes that were levied by you guys seems to be working out for us.
I think there's several key factors. In 2010, coming out of the Great Recession, the pension system was our greatest challenge and is also our greatest threat to multiple downgrades for our bond rating. And we saw that in Illinois and other states as they went to junk bond rating status.
You're talking about my former state now, but you're right there.
Exactly.
Illinois teacher retirement service system, I think, is somewhere between 25% and 30% funded right now. So they've got problems.
They have serious problems. And Earl and I worked together with many others to make a difference. And so now that that's headed in the right direction, that's been one of the key factors in making our bond rating stronger. And I do think having revenue that's going to be reoccurring, that's going to actually help us invest in some of the key areas, whether it be education or roads and bridges, is also a significant factor. So I was happy to see that.
Assuming you're talking to next year's state legislators as they come into a new session, as a state treasurer, what recommendations would you make to the legislature?
Well, I think that there's a couple key projects that a former colleague of mine, Senator Mike Massey, has had this kind of opportunity project where they're going to want to go back and mentor. We're going to have roughly 80 new members that have 2 years or less experience. And so people like Earl Sears with his wealth of knowledge of running the budget. And so I think there'd be different areas where we need to bring back key leaders of the past that can kind of help people along to get them started.
Earl, as you take over the role of Jim Bonsack as the RVS Friday Forum, what questions are you going to be asking Mr. McDaniel this morning?
You know, the big question that I will ask, and hopefully it's asked somewhere or in some form along the way, but the success story in this is when Randy and I was first elected, there's 7 pension funds, and all of them were sorely underfunded. Teacher retirement being like 41-42%. And again, when you factor all 7 of them together, and you average that number, Randy can correct me here, it was like mid-50s.
Mm-hmm.
This journey we've been on for 12 years, and it was not an easy journey because not everybody liked the journey we took, because part of it, to help it, we had 3 things that did it. The market, literally the economy and marketplace, it was up and down, but we've had some good returns in regards to those funds being invested in any foundation in the nation.
Right.
Okay? But you have those ups and downs. And the other one was we made a commitment about $300 million right off the top of the tax dollars goes to those funds. And then the other one was, is we quit giving COLAs until those pension funds were funded somewhere between 85% to 100%. Now, Randy would tell you he'll give a COLA when he gets 100%, but on the same token, somewhere in that 85 and in that area, probably would be safe to give it. But anytime you give one, depending 2%, 3%, 4%, it's hundreds of millions of dollars. And we were regularly giving those. And we understand that people were getting that cost of living and helping them back home. But on us, here's where we took the bullets. You got to play out both sides. You can keep doing that and the pensions just keep staying where they are and spinning wheels, or we can put these pensions and put them on the right track. We've done that. So now that I'm proud to tell you and our listeners today, and Randy can even reinforce it more, is just education alone, when we were there 41%, it's now about 72% funded. And that's just, and the others, I mean, what the judicials were probably, what, 110, Randy?
112, yes.
Yeah, 112. I mean, it's a resounding success story. And so that's a question I will be asking, to let people know that number, that it was this, and now that it's this. That just speaks volumes, Charlie.
Sure, absolutely. Go ahead, Randy.
Well, I think one key issue is that we know there are a lot of people hurting and they have needs. And so I was happy because of the financial turnaround and our improvement, we were able to provide the first relief in many years. It was a stipend. It was an important first step because we wanted to help retirees, as we know that costs are going up. And so as we continue to strengthen the system, and I think a key part of it has been the funding, and I couldn't have done it without the chairman of A&B making sure that we kept on the right path, and we were colleagues both trying to find a way to make sure we do the right thing for retirees for not only tomorrow, but for many years to come.
Right. Thank you very much. I know you have to get to the forum,
yeah,
Earl.
And I don't want to make this me as a hero, but here's the claim to fame that I have, and he brags on me about this, but really it was under his leadership. But just what he was saying,
he was helping get to Earl Sears Park?
No. As the AB chairman, this $300 million, you got to understand, you just can't imagine the people that wanted to come in and take $50, $60, $80 million of that money and maybe put some other place in government. And we both and many others held firm and said, no, we told our retirees this is an obligation that we owe them. Mm-hmm. And if we're ever going to fix this thing, we can't keep taking money, borrowing money, stealing money, call it what you want. We literally stayed the course, and that is just something we're very, very proud of. Well, and we do have to go to the forum.
One more thing. I don't know if you're going to be. I hope you will be at Monday night's City Council meeting as they name a couple of blocks as in honor of Jim Bonsack.
I plan on being there.
Okay.
In case there's a question comes up.
Earl, Randy, thank you so much for coming in. Randy Daniel, again, he is the Republican candidate for state treasurer. He will be on the November ballot, and he is asking for your vote.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. That's a Capital Call program on AM 1400 K1.
Well, I think moms can sometimes just feel really overwhelmed.
As a mom, you face a number of tasks every day.